All right, welcome to another Sheep Farm Mint Sauce Chronicles. And welcome to the home of free speech while it lasts, no matter what we're talking about, hopefully, unless we mention certain things like you're a globalist, and that could be classed as anti-Semitic. This is another Mint Sauce Chronicles, and we're going to attempt to get these out every Saturday, for every Saturday night. That's what we're trying to do now. So there'll be a bit of a delay between recording this. It's a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock we're recording this one, and we're going to try and get these out every Saturday. Then we can then look at filling in a couple of times through the week over a month as well. I'd like to thank you all for listening, and a shout goes out to all the subscribers and all the members as well who make it possible. Behind the scenes, we're working on, because we're getting nagged for t-shirts and hoodies and stuff like that, to put a little shop at the side of the website as well. So that's in process as well. And if you want to contact us, remember it's info@sheepfarm.co.uk. Unless you're Jacko, who sends about a million emails, with crab claws emails a day. Other than that, you're welcome to send emails to info@sheepfarm.co.uk. Don't leave comments on YouTube thinking we're going to get in touch with you, because we might not read them, we might miss them, or comments anywhere else on social media or whatever. Not that I'm big on social media, but I don't think Chris is either.
I'm on that. We've got an Instagram, sheepfarm.co.uk. Got about 400 people on it now.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I just put drawings and news articles occasionally in there.
Yeah, it still freaks me out that anybody wants to follow what we do, but anyway, there you go. Website update. A few weeks ago when the servers were getting a bit cramped for space, we seems to have alleviated that problem now. We've added a bit more oomph to the proceedings. And, it hadn't happened over the last 2 weeks anyway, so it seems to have worked. Fingers crossed.
And what I was going to say, I was just saying, you know, I took a picture of my little corner where I do my, where my mic is in that, and it actually looked, I put it on Instagram, it looked quite sad when I looked at it, so I put some shelves up in my corner.
You just had one cobweb there.
It looked quite grim. So I've tightened it up a bit. I'll have to take another picture and put it on Instagram.
So on Sunday, wasn't it, we did a podcast with a couple of guys from Over Hill in Lancashire. Were it Preston they're from, I think?
Yes.
Preston. I might have got that wrong. If I've got it wrong, Phil and Benny, I apologise. Preston or Blackburn?
It
wasn't Blackpool. I think you were Preston. Yeah. Really good chat. Their show's on...
Amish Inquisition.
The Amish Inquisition. I've forgotten why they called it that now.
Actually gave us a straight answer.
No. Well, again, a bit like us. They don't give straight answers. They just laugh. They've got luxuriant beards, I would call them.
Nice part.
Nice being interviewed by ZZ Top. From Lancashire.
It wasn't really an interview, was it? Just
no,
chat like we do. But I've listened to some of their shows since they contacted us a while ago, and they're quite good. They've got some good guests on there and stuff.
Yeah.
Do an hour with guests and then do an hour on their own.
I've
listened to a few while I'm in my shed.
Well, I know people like us, I call it people like us, it sounds like we're all freaks, but we're always looking out for...
Could be something said for that.
Yeah, probably. But we're always looking out for something new to listen to, aren't we? So finding new things and new people to listen to.
Well, for me, it is. I'm in my shed about, I don't know how many hours a week, so I can do it too. I can be in there for 8 to 10, 12 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm always listening to something. I'm bored of listening to my own music. So I usually listen to a podcast, which can go between conspiratorial stuff. Well, it's all actually, when I think about it, I'm going to say I had something else to listen to, but it's about bloody giants or cryptids or something. So I suppose it all goes into the same banner, really, doesn't it?
But yeah, their show's out on every Sunday. It's live on YouTube every Sunday. They do about 2 hours, an hour with a guest and then an hour on their own talking about stuff. And so, tune in on Sundays. I think what time to start? About 8 o'clock Sundays. The Amish Inquisition is on YouTube. Yeah. I think we're booked in for Rise Above Live again on Friday, 18th of November. I'm going to do an Al Gore presentation. Al Gore Rhythm. A convenient lie. Called it.
Convenient bollocks.
Yeah. Al Gore Rhythm, a convenient lie. Yeah. Just hang on one sec. Not only tonight has he got a vest on, right? Which, and
green vest.
Airy clock spring sticking over, but it's a Zelensky
It's a green vest. Zelensky vest.
Yeah. It's either green or he hasn't washed it for a while anyway. One of them. It looks like one of them vests that guy were wearing on... Somebody wearing one of them on Predator? First one.
I think they all were.
Yeah. An Amazonian vest. Yeah. He's got, and he's got a bottle of wine as well that he wants to open. She's got a story behind it.
But right, basically, someone sent me a bottle of wine and it's a Côte de Rhône. Now, I got it about two weeks ago.
Sorry, what is it?
Côte de Rhône.
Is that French, that?
En Goguet. I can't even say it. En Goguet. But
your French is fantastic, Chris.
Hang on a minute, because someone sent me this about 2 weeks ago, right? And I lost their email. And I'm really sorry and I feel terrible and I've searched everywhere for it. You know, when you put something somewhere, I don't remember where I put it.
Where would you put an email apart from in your email box?
Well, I mean, unless you deleted it by mistake.
On a shelf. Might be on a new shelf.
Anyway, could that person please email me so I can send them a thank you, because I'm an idiot and I apologize. Yeah, no, I'm just saying it again. No, because I felt terrible for 2 weeks. I've looked everywhere. I don't know where I put it. Unless I've deleted it, I don't know.
Well, I think
because we get that many bloody emails, it's probably because, yeah, in fact, I'm going to blame Crab Claws, because he's in the last week, he sent us about 140 emails. Now, how he thinks I've got time to read all them, I don't know. I'm sure there's some gems in there, but bloody hell. And we get quite a lot of emails now, so which is great.
But what that stopped
and
him,
I like
stopped
reading
him going on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
There's a balance, Chris.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Email Chris.
I'd rather email me.
Yeah.
Not after he's watched it, though. Because that's just creeper.
Yeah, that's
But if that person who sent me the wine, would you please email me again? I'm sorry I didn't reply, because I'm a dildo.
Yeah. Are you going to open it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure it needs to breathe for a minute, so I'm just going to pour a bit out. But I'll have a little sip. But I reckon it's probably about 10 times better than shite I usually drink.
Witch piss. Is that witch piss?
No, it's a quality one, that is.
Is it?
Yeah.
So you get some quality stuff sent, don't you? To say I had to lie to you to get you into doing all these podcasts. Now you're getting bottles of wine to feed your addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I drink wine anyway. It won't make any difference if anyone sent me them or not. I've got like the shittiest addiction in the world. You know, like someone says I've got a £200 a day coke habit. I've got like a £6.99 a day wine habit.
Thunderbirds habit. A few stuff's happened since last time. I mean, I've been to Malta in between the last Mint Sauce Chronicles. I know we released the Schwab one, but we recorded that a week or so ago.
Getting organised.
But it was interesting, actually. The most interesting part of going there is the difference between airports. We're meant to be so far advanced that our airport is, you know, just going to be smooth sailing all the way through, if you like. Checking in, fine. Been away a couple of times through summer, perfect. All that was what we were concerned about, just hassle. But it was fine. The problem comes when you're going through that security part. And they queue you up like cattle going for slaughter, really. And anyway, this time we're queued up, and there are a few people with face nappies on in the queue. Not many, not too many. Anyway, we get through these doors, and we're in this queue for about half an hour, and we haven't even got to. Most of them are closed. The bloody scanning things. Anyway, there's a guy there, this little shit of a guy with a mask on, shouting at the top of his voice, telling people to check the bags, that they haven't left XYZ in electrical components, all this. He's shouting at the top of his voice.
Everybody knows that already, don't they?
Well, he's making out, though, right, that the queue's that big because people are leaving electric toothbrushes in the bag or a fucking Sony Walkman. You know what I mean?
And Sony Walkman.
Or a bottle of water or in the bag. And it's And I walked past him. I said, you know what? You're doing my nappering, mate. Just talking, you know? Because you're talking behind a mask and you're muffled. So he'd already got his back up with me, right?
Right.
He'd already got his back up with me. Everyone else were annoying shit out of everybody else, right?
Yeah.
So another 10 minutes later, we get to the front. And they've got these, you know, them X-ray things that you walk through. Mm. Well, they've also got one of them where you have to stand and hold your arms up and then they zap you. Yeah?
Right.
Well, I know from asking a few times that you don't actually have to go through those if you don't want.
Right.
Yeah. For argument's sake, if somebody's got a pacemaker, yeah, they can't go through those. They've got to be patted down, for argument's sake.
Right.
So I said to him, I don't want to go through that one. So I've got a choice. Can I go through the other one? And he said, no, you've got to go through that one. I said, no, I don't. I said, I've got a choice. And he went, well, I said, so I have got a choice. You just let somebody else through that one. I want to go through that one. Anyway, top of his voice. Ah, we've got an expert here. Top of his voice.
Right.
And I said, isn't that, mate? I just don't want frying through that one. I know there's more radiation there. I didn't want to go into reason why or all like that with him. I thought, I'll just keep it low-key. Shouting at the top of his voice. Goes and tells all the guys on the stand there. That guy with baseball hat on. He's telling everybody.
Your missus slowly sloping off into the crowd. Yeah,
Nick was chuffed, obviously.
Holiday with your dome.
Anyway, it tipped out, right? This is what
most people just
right?
have a pint.
All that bullshit, right, about take stuff out your bag. And I've got this bag that I carry bits of my handbag. I carry my stuff in, right? And anyway, it's going through. And I go through.
My handbag is a clutch.
I didn't go through the MRI scan thing. I went through the one I wanted to go through, even though I didn't really want to go through that one. But my bag got held up for checking, right?
You probably just did it on purpose.
But this is the funny part. I said to the woman, how come it's so busy? She said, oh, we've got some new starts on thing. They're pulling everything up. So it had nothing to do with what you'd left in your bag. It was the fact that they got new people on the X-ray machines.
That guy was just being a prick.
That guy would just be in the toilet. But the queue were massive, Chris. Chris, the people are meant to be going on holiday, right? And this is what they're doing. They're traumatising you before you go.
Well, before recently, it was liquids and waters and all that shit, wasn't it? Because of... we've put up with that for 20 years. That goes away, and they just bring a new one in.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, do you know the funny part is, in my bag, right? She said, there's no even in your bag. There were no, I took everything out and put it in one of the trays. She said, I don't even know why they've pulled it up. So I thought, all right. Anyway, we get to Malta, right? And I thought, what's that inside of my bag?
Grandma
I opened
Coke.
It. Eh? You
went, oh, what?
The crack pipe. No, in thing, I pulled out a bottle of sun cream. I don't know how long that's been there because I don't even use the stuff. Mm. So I must have been through the check-ins and stuff.
Dozens of times. Do you know what, though? If it makes you feel any better, I bet everyone who worked there hated that bloke as well.
Yeah. Well, I know
the right job was worth bossing all the youngsters and new guys around.
Well, I think somebody shut him up.
Everyone
knows
that
guy. Have they got a choice? And the guy said yes.
Right.
Yeah. So just because I dare question him, I didn't ask it. I wasn't being an arsey bastard. I just said, can I go through that one, please? And he went, no, you haven't got a choice. And that were it then, obviously. Anyway, but yeah,
could you be harsh? You just go, yeah, go through what you fucking want.
I mean, as you know, I've been to Malta quite a few times. And the Malta, you get there, we straight through, coming back, it was straight through. You get to look, you get to back to Manchester again, queue's a mile long.
Yeah, and I remember me and Lou going somewhere once, and it was really early morning. This guy, like you say, he was angry as hell, shouting at everyone. And he shouted at me and I just burst out laughing in his face. He got so angry. Me and Lou walked off pissing ourselves. Yeah. She was like, we need to do this. Like, what are you doing? And I said, well, he's about 4 in the morning, so maybe he's just tired.
Well, coming back from in Manchester, this was Terminal 3, the split kids, the split families and non-fountain. So if you've got kids, you go into a different queue, yeah? Then they've got those checkouts, the auto checkouts, yeah? Yeah. Anyway, it wasn't right straightforward. But
no, it's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah. But there were a guy there, and he had two young kids with him, and he had his rucksack on, backpack. I don't know, look like a decent bloke, you know what I mean? His kids were rolling all around breakdancing.
Yeah.
They might have been at 5 and 7 year old, you know what I mean? Anyway, these guys went and pushed in, said they had a train to catch. Yeah? So they rushed them through to the front, said, how's that? I've got kids here. They're going nuts.
The guy said that.
Yeah, the guy said this. That's all right, you push in, as if you've got a train to catch. You know, so you book a train minutes after you landed. Right. Yeah. Nonsense. Yeah.
Bullshit,
so pushed in front of everybody. Anyway, one of the guys behind the counter said, if you think you're going to get served any quicker by shouting, mate. So he's having
shouting?
A go at this guy now, not the guys for pushing in.
Was he shouting?
Well, he was shouting. He weren't shouting as in being aggressive.
Yeah,
he was just saying, blah, blah, blah. Right.
Yeah.
And anyway, this massive customs guy came out, must have been 6'5" of a lump. I stood right in front of him and said, keep it down, mate. I'm thinking, hang on, he's got two young kids.
In front of his kids
him.
As well.
He's got two young kids with him. And this guy's come out not knowing what's going on. Just seeing him shouting, thinks he's kicking off, which he is, I suppose. And this is how it's going, isn't it? So he's getting picked on, but yet they let them people through. It's a strange carry on, really, all that. I felt sorry for him. And the one customs guy behind there knew what was going on. He could see, just like what you're saying, his mates didn't like him. He could tell. Yeah. You could tell he knew. But, so it was strange. One thing I will say about Malta is, I haven't been for a while. I used to go a lot. But it's 5G central there.
You used to go with Bajerski, didn't you?
No, not Bajerski. No, I used to go on my own.
No.
It was Brian that were there, wasn't it?
All right. No, I thought you went with Bajerski.
No, I've never been with Bajerski. Not to Malta, no. I went to Ibiza with Bajerski.
No.
Ibiza. Yeah. Anyway, so while I've been there, we've had about 10 prime ministers in and out as well. So Liz Truss and her 45-day golden handshake. I think she gets 115 grand a year or something like that for life now.
For doing 45 days?
Yeah, well, if you're prime minister, that's the deal. You get, if you, once you right. leave office, you get 115 grand a year. A golden handshake plus bodyguards.
That's cushy, isn't it?
Yeah. So for ruining everybody's financial futures...
45, should we call that a 9, shall we?
Yeah, we'll call that a 9, Chris, yeah. And 100, I think it's either 115 or 116 or something like that. £1,000 a year for life, plus other stuff, obviously. And now we've got Slumdog, Rishi, Sewer Rat, who we quite eerily called last November, didn't we? With the Rise Above guys.
It looked like they were lining him up
yeah.
for Prime Minister. You know, weirdly, I put all our pictures on Instagram. Well, the pictures I've drawn for the shows, I think I've put them all on there. And I went to look because I knew I'd done that one of Richie Sunak. And
why do you call him Richie Sunak?
What's his name?
Rishi.
Rishi, sorry.
No, it's all right. I just thought you would take a piss out of him for some because
no, I didn't
from a rich background. It's quite a good name, actually.
Yeah. Richie. Anyway, I did a picture of him, didn't I, when we did that show. And then I did another one of me and you looking at him outside of our eyes. But right. I didn't put it on Instagram. And I drew that about, when was it, a year ago we did that, was it?
November, last November it was.
So last November. And it's got me and you looking at him as if to say, hey, what's this one up to? That's what the idea was. And I didn't put it on Instagram, so I put it on there. And some, comments were saying how topical it was. But I drew it a year ago.
Generally, prime ministers.
But we saw it coming because he had a similar... I think when we were doing that stuff on Boris Johnson and all these other ones, the ones that get there, like Blair, and they've got a history and a visual documented history on TV, on like Boris Johnson, I think I remember us
talking about Blair was as well.
Numerous TV shows and presenting TV.
Even Rich Thatcher. Even Thatcher.
Yeah, yeah. There's pictures of it. I saw some video of Liz Truss, but not to the same level, when she was young. And, you know, you just saw her talking, for God, would you even entertain that person? You know, like some young teenager, like, this country needs to... Just like, that young should not be that involved in...
But these people...
Pretend politics.
...are meant to be in touch. They're meant to be representing the British public. That's their job.
Yeah.
To represent, as MPs and government, the British public. And it's quite obvious that they're not representing the British public.
Hmm. Well, without sounding like a...
If anybody can't see that after what's gone on, I mean...
We pay their wages. I'm not going to sound like a guy having a cop who's been pulled over.
A middle-aged moaning bastard.
But, and what right... When you think about it, right, what right have they got to tell you not to leave your house?
I know.
What effing right has anyone got to tell you you cannot leave your house?
For the protection of everyone else. Yeah.
What right have they got to tell you can't go and see your grandma? I mean, it's insane when you think about it, isn't it? Well, I thought it was insane at the time.
It's insane.
Obviously didn't. Hug your grandma this year, she'll be Christmas and she'll be dead by New Year.
Yeah.
That knobhead said that on Channel 5. What's his name? Yeah. What's his name?
I can't remember.
You know what I mean?
Vine.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a leading parasite.
That were actually coming out of people's mouths. And I know we keep wagging on about it, but we shouldn't forget the shite because...
No, we shouldn't forget these people.
Like we were saying in that, when we were talking to them guys the other day, people don't talk about it. They don't want to talk about it.
No. No, they don't.
I mean, I go out and work in places and no one brings it up. Just the occasional during lockdown, that's about all.
Well, again, they call it that, don't they? And then it is a bit, you know, during the lockdown. No, during.
You might as well be saying during FA Cup last year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, during the Eurovision Song Contest.
During Christmas, during Easter.
What did you do? What were you doing when JFK got shot? It's that type of thing, isn't it? What were you doing when 9/11 happened?
Just trivializing it.
Yeah, but when in reality, we're at war.
Like you say with JFK, for instance, JFK 9/11, all that stuff. We still drone on about that, but what are you still talking about it for?
Yeah, I know. They don't realise that they're the turning points in people's lives. Mm. And they've used for their very, very thing.
But like I said, I might have said this, I don't know if I said this on here before, but who's to say you're talking to your friend who've all been arm speared or whatever.
Yeah.
Who's to say us, people like us and people listening to this who didn't go ahead with it, I've actually saved them from actual tyranny that could have happened within 6 months.
Yes. Yeah.
Have we? We'll never know because
we'll never know.
Like we always say, the revolution won't be televised, but there's a chance that we actually push back a little bit and changed it a little bit. I don't mean us per se, me and you. I mean people
as a group
listening to this who refuse to bend
an individual. It's like an individual movement because we're all individuals, but an individual collective, if you like, where we're all of a similar mindset and together. It's must be quite. To look from the people who are running this shit show back at all these people must be quite off-putting. Yeah.
Why they can throw up thousands of pounds at TV shows and documentaries.
Yeah. We'll come on to that in a bit. Yeah. But these politicians, I mean, I've thought this since I was young, probably because we used to get it both barrels off my dad and at Christmas and listen to him and his granddad argue shit about Labour Party and Tories. And
what were they arguing about?
I voted for anything. Nothing.
Yeah, but what were they arguing about? Nothing.
But what does it stand for? They're not here anymore.
Improved? Nothing. Nothing's changed. But at least then they were a little bit different, weren't they?
It was a bit lighter than it is now. However, I think it's more obvious now because the communications are more obvious for us. Yeah. Back then it weren't as obvious. They could hide it away. They could hide Ted Heath away, you know, but it'd be a little bit more difficult probably now to do something like that.
Like I've said before, it's almost like they lit a match with the internet and it was a race. These fuckers are going to learn loads of stuff and they're going to interact with each other and learn, but you know, the game's on now.
Well, I think the downside with setting these operations off is, like we've seen over the last 3 years, the amount of learning that I've done personally, and we've spoke about that, but also the amount of people that have woken up. So when they set these operations off, they can't, all right, they might plan that a lot of people are going to realise and wake up, but they're still going to go through with the operation because the operation's bigger than that small percentage going to realise.
I'll give you another example I just thought of, right? When they invented the printing press, right? Yeah. So someone said, go, say, for instance. Now, hang on a minute. Loads of people are going to learn loads of new stuff now because they're going to read loads of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the best way we can propagandize these bastards.
Yes.
So we need it, but they're going to learn from it. So we need to control it.
Yeah. Just and like 3 hours learning people to read, write, and add up. You know,
the internet were the same thing, just in a modern version of the printing press, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then you go past the printing press because that was new. And then you go to like Penguin Books, like we've talked about.
Yeah.
So they've created the softback book that everybody can get.
Yeah.
Great. They're gonna we can propagandize the shit out of them, but they're gonna learn a lot of stuff as well at the same time. I'm saying they as us, like, you know.
Well, I mean, we're gonna talk about them. I wasn't gonna talk about Penguin per se, but we're gonna talk about Marvel comics in the second hour.
Good.
And Penguin are part of the distribution.
Right. So you know more about this than me now.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, going back to
about comics.
Rishi Sunak, it was a bit eerie, really, that all of us on that presentation there, I'm sure people listening, realised while we were doing it that the story was very rich, that when you've got people at school again, like they said about Johnson, his nanny said he was going to be prime minister. Why is his nanny saying that? You know, so Rishi Sunak's mates are saying,
nanny, I just thought of it, you forget nanny out of Oman, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Well, she used to have baths with him, apparently, Chris.
Right.
Apparently, she used to have, yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah.
Quite exciting for a little boy, though. Wow.
Depends what nanny's like. If she only had to put
might
an inch
like
of water,
Zelda from Terror Rock.
She might look like a Terror Rock, but if she only had to put an inch of water in the bottom and it filled right up to the top when she sat in it. I'll just put it's all right, Boris. You sit there, I'll just put my left ass cheek in this time. Yeah, just watch that, Boris. That's one of my mud flaps.
But I mean, we worked it out from doing the Boris stuff and the Blair stuff. And it just became evident, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did.
It wasn't like a psychic prediction.
I mentioned this on the guy's show the other night, if you didn't catch it, that we've had 5 unelected prime ministers since Be Liar. Mm. So we've had Leeds Bradford Eyes Gordon Brown, David Astor Cameron, slave-owning ancestor Cameron.
Do you know, could you get a group of people fired? Even if you include any British prime minister, probably even other than Maggie Thatcher, without being funny, none of them have got any personality whatsoever. Ever. In fact, no, I retract that because Boris at least had some personality.
Yeah, Boris had some personality,
but he was playing a part. He was playing the clown prime minister.
Yeah.
Whereas none of them have got anything.
No.
Look at Liz Truss.
Slumdog. Yeah.
Any of them?
No.
I mean. I might have mentioned this before, but I remember seeing Boris, right? And he was clearly playing a part because I remember seeing him in the House of Commons rubbing his hair before he stood up to make it stand up on end. You know what I mean? And just make him look like a buffoon. So he's playing a part, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And even when you saw his hair, he was stuck up, right? You could see where it had been chopped to make it look...
Yeah, to make it look like...
Make him look a bit crazy. Yeah. He was all done on purpose.
Like he had a stylist stooge, there.
Yeah. His little stooch to give him that little...
His baggy trouser type things,
His jacket were always undone. I mean, these people are stylists who tell them what tie to wear. You're trying to tell me someone didn't say, button your fucking jacket up, Boris, crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Tuck your shirt in your fat... But so you've got Cameron, Theresa May, Johnson, Truss and Slumdog. None of them 5. And so you've got one Labour, rest are Tories... When they first got into power, they weren't voted in a general election. So I know Astor Cameron, he was voted in, but it was a hung parliament. So he didn't win by a clear... Bear in mind here that Cameron got in, Leeds Bradford Eyes, Brown, they destroyed the economy like they have now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he still couldn't get voted in.
Yeah.
That's how bad he was.
I mean, Brown was just... He's a proper personality, isn't he? What a character.
Oh yeah, it's great. I often think, you know, I'd love to meet up with Brown, just have a good chinwag with him.
He must know such stuff.
Him or Slumdog.
Know stuff.
So
if you think, Fatty, though, when in the old days at least you had Labour and Conservative that were pretending to be different.
Yeah.
Now all they do is they do whatever they're going to do: start a war in Iraq and kill a million people, lock everyone down for 2 years, and then they go away.
Yeah,
and you bring someone else in, and it was their fault. So we just passed that book onto them.
Like Matt Wancock and going, I'm a knobhead, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's gone into I'm a knobhead, get me out of here in Australia with Anton Peck.
Is it? Does anyone like that man?
I don't know. I don't know. So he split up from his missus because he was with that Doris.
Yeah.
And he's gone into. I'm a knobhead, get me out of here.
So you've got a man... Yeah, you know what? Forget it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not even mention it. But I just thought... I put that bit in there about Wancock. But these people who are meant to represent the British population are quite obvious, especially with Slumdogging, especially with Truss, especially with Johnson. They were representing the interests of the controllers. And people can't see that now because they're thinking Keir Starmer's going to come and save them.
Yeah, I think I said to you this years ago, well, right, beginning of the nonsense, I think he'll be brought in as the fascist
whatever he represents, he'll be brought in and it'll be worse than we've got. Be worse.
But whatever Slumdog does, he'll be brought in as the
savior.
I don't know. I think so. Yeah, but who knows? Who knows? It's interesting to watch, isn't it? But it's all a stage show. None of it's real.
Last night, so we're talking Monday night. Our favourite propaganda channel program Panorama aired about, and it showed Richard Diol on there.
Oh God! Yeah. I tried to watch it last night.
I haven't watched it. I won't watch it either.
I'm going to watch it again, but I worked a breakfast last night. I tried to watch it quite late, and I nodded off. And also, I was at work today, and I phoned you to tell you. I just popped into my head. What is BBC in numerology?
Right.
B's two. So you've got two B's and then C's are three. So you've got two, two, three. And is that Skull and Bones number 322?
I think so, yeah. 322 Skull
and Bones.
Pretty
sure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just coincidence. So
322 backwards.
Yeah. But if you think about the BBC, they've got a £5 billion budget.
Yeah. Yeah.
To propagandise whoever they want to.
And they go after Richard Hall.
Yeah. They go after Richard Hall, who actually is more of a real journalist than any of the people on there will ever be. Don't mean to say he gets everything right, by the way. None of us can get everything right. We can't. It's impossible. He's asking valid questions about not just what they were talking about on there, but everything.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah.
And
I mean, you introduced me to Richard, and you've watched him for years, haven't you, since he was on TV?
Yeah.
And we've been to see him live twice.
Yeah.
And do you know, the bit I watched of that thing, because I think, didn't you say that they contacted him to see if he'd be part of it? And he said no.
Yeah.
And then they kind of go up the stairs, like, you know, with the camera, like he's there. Like this evil person's there.
Yeah, like he's just, he's sat in the corner, concocting some new plan to
fucking, it's disturbing. And then, is it good to profit? I think they said, is it good to profit out of people's, so they were basically saying he were profiting out of
people's profiting. That's why he's got a market stall.
Yeah.
You know, if he were on his yacht, then I'd say, maybe he's profited in some way. He might still deserve it. But
and then it kind of flashed to one of his, gigs that we went to, and it showed it really busy, you know, and they were just making out you were just like this evil person making money out of honestly,
what I won't mind is though,
it disturbed me that day, because I was at work today, and I don't know. I hope he's all right. I hope it didn't stress him out.
I'm sure it'll be all right. Well, I'm sure it will have stressed him out. It's going to stress anybody out, isn't it? Because you've got a massive army of these people. All right, we'll just spring on a cameraman, you know, but really, you're not taking that on. You're taking somebody who's been trained to a stupid question.
But also,
like he said,
they're trying to make out because he tried to video that woman in the I think she was in a was she in a boat hire place or a car hire place?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But they did the same thing to him. They just turned up with a camera.
Yeah. Even though he'd asked them not to.
Yeah.
That's all right though, because like all these things, Chris,
BBC.
like in 2020,
behind them, aren't they?
Yeah. Like in 2020, you know. A bit like when we put that video on that went viral, that they got shirty about.
Video went viral?
Yeah, it's the only one I've ever done that's gone viral. I've never witnessed anything like that. I could see it go like...
I know. How weird was that fire?
I watched it and it's just going up and up and up. It got to about, I think...
If anyone didn't know what it was, I sent Dom a video of a BBC... It wasn't even a documentary, it was a little snip, wasn't it, of like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't even that, Chris, it was less than that.
And this is going back a while. This was a year ago. And it was before we were saying, are these
Spears
going to cause, because he kept talking about heart failures.
Yeah.
And we saw the, what they call it, I can never say that, defibrillators.
Defibs. Yeah, just call defibs. Them defibs.
Defibs, that's it, that's what I say. We saw the rise in the defibs and the discussion in the news about heart conditions. And then that documentary came out and it was about young people having heart conditions, which is, you know, it happens all the time. So I sent it to you. You put it on our channel. Got about 60,000 views in about 2 days. And then the BBC lawyers sent you a letter, didn't they?
Well, it was more than that, Chris. It was going over 100,000.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
But this, people were interested. So they were looking at this.
But this is how they can put news out, so it's got a couple of hundred views. They're all right on that. It gets, yeah, you know, it gets 250,000 views, a load of people putting comments on it all of a sudden. It's scary.
Do you know, like you said earlier when we were talking earlier, like with the Richard Orr thing, I think that more people are going to go and look at his channel now and think, who's this guy?
I know.
Shula.
I know. Yeah.
I don't think these psychopaths can see that.
No. I think the strange thing is his YouTube channel got cut off.
Right. Before or after?
After. Well, after that. Before the show, but before. When BBC went to see him around that time. So he's had a channel for about 10 years, 90,000 subs.
He got shut off just before that show came out, basically.
So obviously got shut off so people couldn't go to YouTube to watch his stuff.
Right. Fucking hell. Wow.
This is the planning. This is the control that these people... I mean, that lady there, Spring, whether she knows it or not, right? Yeah. And she could be blind. I've no problem with that one. She's blind, yeah, and deaf to it.
Mm.
But the power that wields, that is the ministry of... Ministry of Truth. Because the Ministry of Truth says you cannot ask questions about anything. Mm. And otherwise, we're going to make an hour's worth of documentary on you.
And the bit I saw of it... What I watched of it, she had that same face as that girl who did the jibby jab one.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that as well.
You know,
yeah,
that sympathetic, yeah. Okay. You know,
yeah, yeah.
I'm just a nice person. And, yeah, you know,
I can never do you any harm. Yeah.
And then, you know, that like shaky background version of Richard Orr making him look all shifty and dodgy.
Yeah. Just, so you've got a guy there, right? Making films on his
independent man making films on his own.
Yeah.
And then he's confronted by a £5 million machine. £1 billion propaganda machine, which is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, the 3-2-2.
So his shows might have got 50,000 views. Or
why they're so scared of him though.
And their shows, that show last night, will have got millions.
Or so like they tell us. Does it though these days?
And it's good to see.
Actually, I have to grit my teeth with anger here. Right?
Yeah, I know. It's,
you turn on the BBC News now, you are literally watching a propaganda machine.
Yes.
A massive, dirty propaganda machine. It always has been, but it's far worse.
I mean, they're all as bad, but the BBC is the worst one.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And we pay for that.
Yeah.
We pay to get propagandized by that machine.
Yeah. That is the proper They Live channel, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're all the same.
They all just do it slightly different.
But again, they can make a film on that, right, on Richard. Yet 10, 20,000 people can stand outside the BBC
shouting, chanting, shame on you.
Shame on you. And it doesn't even register on the news, on anywhere.
That one thing you say there, Fire, is enough, isn't it? Sure.
Well, to me it is, and you it is. I mean, but we thought that before all this.
I've told people. I've told people like that. Yeah,
I know. What does it matter, though? What does it matter? They're even pulling that statue down, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. That one that was made by a paedophile.
Yeah.
And I heard, fucking hell. That, yeah, was it Cowback? Was it the artist who did it? Was he a paedophile?
I don't know. So, yeah, anyway.
I heard a cover piece on the radio about that. And they were going, oh, yeah, but he was just a very highly sexy.
So let's think how much this cost, right? How much do you think that documentary, and I don't know,
no,
that documentary would have cost to make about...
Well, not a lot, Fatty, because it was just her in a video, a shaky video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, I'm joking. Yeah.
But it was, somebody sent me a 2-minute shot of it and I watched a bit of it, right?
I
couldn't watch that unjabbed either. I can't watch it. But I would have said that would have cost, if you're adding all the time for editing and all that type of stuff, you're probably looking hundreds of thousands of pounds, you know, at least. to make something like that.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. So like all that time and effort, right? How scared are they of the information that something in that film, right, or this book or whatever, like that heart video going viral, has terrified them?
Yeah.
Because all they pulled out, from what I realise, is that he put a camera in his car.
Yeah.
And he questioned somebody whether they were injured.
Well, there is a point in it, where he actually says, have you actually watched my
video
presentation? And she says, I'm aware of the content.
Yeah. She said, she had not even watched it. She won't watch it. She will not watch it. I mean, the reason why I don't watch BBC is because I watched it for 40 odd years. I know exactly. You know, roughly, like them conspiracy files, they've already got the outcome before the start, so it's sort of pointless, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't have to watch.
In the middle of the nonsense, I used to watch it out like objectively, but now
I think some people can handle it, Chris.
Yeah, I can handle it, but I struggle more now, to be honest with you.
But it's like us talking about, you know, people ask us, how can you handle talking about these dark subjects? Yeah. And it doesn't bother me. Yeah.
No.
In the clinic, right? I'm having this conversation with the nurses.
We're talking about true things.
Yeah, but so why would conversation it disturb you? With the nurses in the clinic, I can't handle the emotional side of people coming in who are ill.
Yeah.
Whereas to them, it's a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone coming, can handle that. I can't handle that. Yeah? So everyone's different because they can handle the information that. So we're all different characters, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally true.
And anyway, all right, let's move on. But real journalists, I would have thought, Chris, would be looking into why BP profits have doubled to 7.1 billion in the past 3 months, and Shell's profits have soared to 8.2 billion in 3 months, more than double the amount in the same period last year for both of them. Yet we're paying double bills. Well, how's that work, Chris? I wonder how they've made the profit. I'm trying to work it out, Chris. Let me think. I know I'm not clever. I left school with no qualifications. Let me work it out.
The scariest thing is, I was actually listening to propaganda radio the other week. Excuse me. I was listening to propaganda radio a while ago, and we're going back 6 months here. So, new story, blah, 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 bills going up, da, da, da. And they literally said in the news bit that Shell had 7.5 billion profit. But not in a fact of, they meant, and we're all, you know, if it was a proper report, it would be, we're all paying double as fuel bills, and they've just made
these bastards
5 million bollocks. These fucking wankers. No, they just said it. But I think that was a piss take. It was a piss take. He was telling you, it was a piss take.
Yeah.
If you're paying double your bills, and these mofos have made, these gangster mofos have made 7.5 million. But they didn't even question it. They just said it like it was nothing.
If you were, had any self-respect as a journalist, you would be questioning that. Not some poor guy trying to earn a living in a Welsh market.
Yeah. Selling truth and books about...
Or trying to find the truth.
Alternative truths.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is
let's not question the 7.5 billion profit.
Mayor Sadiq Khan and his team travelled 360,000 air miles to discuss climate change.
Right. Actually funny yesterday because I was working with a fella and he's a bit older than us, and he was saying it's getting warmer, isn't it? It's warm, isn't it? Do you think it's climate change, Chris? And I went, and he went, oh fucking hell, no, you don't think it's climate change. I said, of course I don't. Freezing, then it was warming, now it's changed because they don't know what the fuck it's going to do next.
But it's not just that, is it? It is climate change.
But this is how clever they've been. Climate changes.
Yeah.
on a yearly basis.
So Mr. Net Zero Sadiq Khan and his flying planes, but that's not all, Chris. I found a magazine article, right, from 30th of June 2014 about plastic. So we've got rid of us plastic bags, right? So how much plastic should be floating in the world's oceans? Given what we've been told, so this is going back to 2014, even now, this is back then, right? So a study finds that 99% of the plastic that we've been told is floating in the oceans is missing. 99%.
Well, hang on a minute.
Right. So, what they basically said is...
Because it's turned into microplastics.
Yeah, microplastic. But if every... The
micrometeorites.
plastic bottle, plastic bag, after it's killed an hedgehog and a tortoise,
it ends up... tuna's got his head wrapped in it.
Tuna and a dolphin, right? And they all turn into microplastics.
Oh,
and then
God, fuck.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And then like micrometeorites, isn't it? Everything's micro.
Then it gets into a diplodocus. And then with proper food.
Turns into oil.
Yeah. Anyway, it turns out, Chris, that only 0.1% of plastic is actually in the oceans.
Right.
Like the 100%. So, 0.1%.
What about that David Attenborough documentary that stopped me using plastic straws?
I think what happened was that old Wiggy Sir Hamilton were that good at flying around
right.
the world.
All right, so he picked up in a plastic bottle.
Yes.
To turn them into an air transplant.
Yeah, yeah, turn them into an air transplant. 95%, so 5% is recycled. Fair
right.
enough, 5%.
Right.
So all that effort that goes into recycling, only 5% of plastic's recycled ever, right?
Right, fuck off. Yeah, really.
94.9% is incinerated.
So that blue wheelie bin I've got, should just not bother?
Might as well set it on fire.
I knew it as well, you know. I know that as well, fire.
We knew it.
You know, but... I still do it. I do it. Yeah. I do the plastic
had to
recycling
dig it out.
Thing.
Yeah.
So, do you know... I might have mentioned this was a BBC documentary. And I've told numerous people about this. And again, you know, they just glaze over and look at me like I'm a fucking lunatic. But
you are.
I think it was an actually on TV documentary I saw. And right. It was about recycling your coffee cups, right? So they were asking Londoners about, did I tell you this? I can't remember.
No.
They were about recycling your coffee cups. So on the side of your coffee cup, when you go to Starbucks, right, you got the little fucking recycling pyramid triangle Masonic sign. And so everyone was putting them in the recycling thing. Turns out, right, the cup is not recyclable, just the sleeve, but the triangle's on the fucking sleeve,
right?
So, I mean, if that isn't evil, right, they're telling you that your cup is recycled. Everyone's throwing it in there. It's not. It's just that little cardboard corrugated sleeve that goes around it. That's recyclable, not a coffee cup. It's got wax in it, so that's not recyclable.
Yeah, they put that horrible wax in.
Yeah.
So it's like drinking a candle. Yeah.
Well, that coffee's horrible, isn't it?
It's horrible. Yeah. It's not even
so
coffee.
You've got
Costa, shite.
Starbucks, and whatever
all
other numerous massive ones are. And their sole job is to make coffee. And every
I can't believe that anybody.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
I can't believe that anybody water. Who goes there thinks they're actually a coffee connoisseur.
No, it's disgusting. It's like drain water.
Yeah.
It's horrible. In fact, I will say this, right? I'm not trying to sell McDonald's. McDonald's coffee is better than any of them.
McSatan
coffee. Yeah.
Max Statins. Yeah.
No, it is. I was working somewhere. I said, I'll get a coffee. And they went, actually,
they're just
coffee.
One place.
Unfortunately, McAdee's.
They're just one place.
Enough.
I can't
I don't
give
go,
money to.
I don't. I'm not saying I'd go in there to buy
I'm
coffee.
Not saying I'm perfect. Don't go there, I do give me money to people that I wish I didn't have to give me money to as well.
But what I mean is, at the moment when I needed a coffee, theirs is better.
Yeah.
And I'm not upselling McDonald's.
Yeah. I don't. If I'm going to have a coffee, it's every now and again, because otherwise I'm breakdancing all day.
I drink gallons of coffee. I drink gallons. No, I don't drink gallons. I drink like two or three a day. And then
I don't agree with me now.
About 2 o'clock. And then just wait for wine time.
So, talking about your Ukrainian vest and your Action Man vest, old Action Man Eagle Eyes, World War Z. Zelensky's.
Mm.
Oh, just a quick one. We mentioned it on that other thing about that, because it just reminds me of Zelensky playing piano with his knackers in that leather thong. Yeah. You did watch that tranny, didn't you?
Yes. That you said
and
that, yes.
I can't really say he got his tackle out, because it wouldn't really tackle that, would it? But I don't know what that is. Are they bolt-ons, them? His knackers?
No. I think it was a man who...
Bolt-on...
I think he'd grown a pair of boobs or had some implants.
Well, you can't just grow a pair of boobs. You must have had implants.
Well, whatever. Yeah. And you're on about that Channel 4, I think it was Channel 4.
Yeah, just grown a pair of boobs, Chris. I don't think that happens like
that. No, that can't work, can it?
No, I hope not.
Anyway. I think you can grow boobs by eating chicken these days, can't you?
Yeah. They're moobs you're on about.
Anyway,
Bitch tits gates.
You sent me that video of that guy playing piano with his tail.
He's apparently a comedian, you know. Where are these people coming from? Wasn't funny at all.
Well, I said this on when we did the Amish Inquisition thing. My first thought was this. So you delete Fawlty Towers, talking about Germans, and now entertainment is a guy with tits playing the piano with his willy. That is entertainment.
But he wasn't even playing it. He was playing piano before. He actually got his nuts out, and didn't really do much, did he?
No, it was just a big shenanigans, wasn't it? It wasn't entertaining. It wasn't entertaining. If he'd done something, do you know what? If he'd done something funny and had a pair of boobs and a willy, fair enough. But it wasn't. It was purely just for that, wasn't it? Shock value.
Lily Savage was actually funny, wasn't it? Some of it was actually funny, right?
Well, I mean, the cross-dressing thing has been in pantomimes forever. Yeah,
Dick Emery. We used to love Dick Emery when you were a kid.
Everyone's always found that. Yeah. Who is it? What is it? Les Dawson. Yeah. We used to play that grumpy old woman.
Yeah.
That was always hilarious. But it wasn't an agenda hilarious, though, Fat.
No. Or it might have been. Might have just been allowed on to drift through.
I don't think it was.
I
think it was just... It's funny if a guy dresses as a woman. But they've made it not funny. They've made it into an agenda.
Yeah, it ain't funny, is it? It's sinister.
It's an agenda pushing narrative.
It's sinister, isn't it?
It's not the same thing, is it?
Yeah. Have you been watching that? I know we're going about something totally different. I want to talk about that Star Wars thing, but have you watched that Nancy Pelosi thing? You see that video that Ed's put on from Out of Light?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you want to watch that? It's interesting, man.
Nancy Pelosi's husband has
been attacked, or supposedly attacked.
Oh, no, I did see something about that. Is he apparently gay? Yeah.
Well, apparently. He's 80-odd-year-old. Anyway, Ed played a recording of the 911 transcript. The guy.
Right.
Basically, when he rang up, he said, "I'm here with Dave." Right? Or David. So he actually told him who he was there. He's attacking him and someone else. So apparently there were three people there, apparently. And apparently the police got there and he were rolling around, they're all in their underwear with hammers. And he's a prostitute, was this guy, David, whatever he's called.
One thing I did see, and I can't remember where I saw
it. But he were married to a woman, right? Has a charity in Mexico that looks after kids who are street kids, right? She rehabilitates them, right, in a dodgy bus that looks like it's out at 60s.
What?
Yeah. She's been locked up for trying to kidnap a 14-year-old. So she's in, there's a picture of her with these half a dozen Mexican boys. And when I say boys, teenagers, yeah? And they're giving them hallucinogenics to get them off street. And it's, you want to watch it, it's quite interesting. And she sat there with these. One of them's got his arm around her. And she sat there with the jeans on and a bra top. That's this prostitute's wife who's now in jail.
Homosexual prostitute?
No, she's a she, right?
Right.
This guy apparently must go both ways.
The one thing I did see was that Pelosi's husband actually picked him up in a club.
Yeah.
So he was a disgruntled gay prostitute.
But what Ed was saying was, you're talking about Nancy Pelosi is the third in the line for the presidency. So the contingency plans would be to guard the shit out of them. Especially knowing, are you telling me, right, that let's just say he is gay?
Yeah.
Right, and he does stuff that's outlandish or bisexual, like going and picking people up in bars. Are you telling me that Secret Service or intelligence services wouldn't know this?
Oh, exactly, like the Jimmy Savile bullshit.
Jimmy Savile, Ted Heath.
Are you trying to
Matt
tell
Barton?
Me?
Yeah,
exactly. Did these people not know what these fucking?
Well, these people would have been set up because of that. They'd have a Mike Dusters because of that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, unfortunately for them, they just got caught, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah.
Caught struck, then rubbed out.
Yeah.
Mountbatten.
Yeah. Mountbatten. Yeah.
Ed Heath.
Yeah. Anyway, so Star Wars.
Yeah. I pointed out, well, I mentioned it on the Image Inquisition. Now, I still do watch shitey TV. I watch Star. I love Star Wars. Always have done. Although I'm very aware that it's programmed these days. Whether it was in the beginning, who knows? But what I noticed was the new Andor series on Disney, which I've been watching with Mrs., which I quite enjoy, to be fair. But programming again, but and I actually rang you because you I asked you because you don't watch that shit, and I said the main actor in it looks like Zelensky, and you immediately agreed, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, it does.
And I asked someone at work as well, just because I thought, is it just my crazy fucking conspiracy mind? And they said yes, and they're not into what we talk about. So the main guy in it, in Andor, looks like Zelensky. He's got, and it's not just the fact, it's not even that he looks like him that much. He looks like him a little bit. He gives off the same
skin
aura.
Colour. He's got same skin colour.
Yes, exactly. Same skin colour. Small guy with a big head, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
And he's doing that scowl, innit? They're both doing that, like, scowl, that serious scowl that Zelensky does, because everyone thinks he's brilliant. And
he's brilliant.
But anyway, I was watching the last one, and you can quote me if I'm wrong, and I'd be very interested to hear people's comments about this. They say to him, he's pretending to be incognito, and they say, what's your name? And he says, Kiev, or Keef, Kiev. And I said to him, I said, we're missus, and I went, did he just say Kiev? And she went, yeah. So, what the fuck is that about?
Well, like we showed...
One thing I would say, Fatty, and I know you've watched Rogue One, which was a good one, actually, the new Star Wars shite that's coming out. And the point of that is that he sacrifices himself to save the rebellion.
Right.
Now, would I be reaching too far to say, is Zelensky going to sacrifice himself and become
Or does he know?
Or does he know? He does look a bit frightened, doesn't he, when you see him...
I think he's been forced to do these things, Chris.
The force to do these things.
Yeah, yeah. But when you think about that green screen and stuff like that, that he were doing, that guy doing them 3D shots of him, and none of what he does looks like he's there anyway, or it's real.
I mean, and when you, I mean, everything that guy gives off is an actor. Everything. Yeah. He's got a costume on. He's in a set.
Yeah. And he's. I mean, nobody can wear green shirts every day, can they? Which president have you ever seen do that? No. Which one?
Someone put a comment on one of our things, actually. He said, what's in those little pockets he's got on his shirt? Yeah. And so I think someone said, definitely not cyanide pills.
No.
I don't know.
Maybe his lipstick.
I mean, I might be reaching for it, and I might be talking absolute shite and reading too much into it. The fact that I asked you, does it look like it? My missus said he does. You did. And a guy at work, I just asked him randomly, does he look like Zelensky? Interestingly, and this is a guy I work with, I like a lot, right? And I was saying to you, I said, so I was telling him this, and he went, and he's a lovely guy. And just from a guy who watches TV and the news and stuff, I just found it quite interesting because he said, oh, no, I agree with a lot of stuff that Zelensky says. You know, he seems like a really true character, etc. But that's what you've been told. That is what you've been programmed to believe, that he is this true character. And I think, do you remember when, right at the beginning when Sean Penn went over and he's like, oh, he's just a man, you know, he's just a man you're just in awe of when you meet him.
What impressed me more about that, him being a true character, when Ben Stiller met him.
Yeah. Oh, and Branson. Ben Stiller, Branson.
Yeah.
All these heroes going over there.
I mean, Branson, he would either go meet Zelensky or set up another abortion clinic. I mean, which, eh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, funny.
Yeah.
Sean Penn went over there to make a documentary right at the beginning of the Ukraine war fight.
Yeah.
Sean Penn's such a hero.
He just happens to
looks
be there.
Like an old. He looks like there. if you put a curly blue rinse wig on Sean Penn, he looks like an old woman.
Looks like a witch.
He looks like a witch.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not slagging off Sean Penn.
I am.
Yeah, I am as well. But he went over there to make a documentary, and so I think he's just one of those guys who's just. You know, he's just one the guy you'd want on your side. Fuck off, Sean, twat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lying bastard.
But I mean, the predictive programming.
Pay the ferryman, Sean. Pay the ferryman.
Yeah. But the predictive programming, because like with Slumdog Millionaire and Rishi Sunak, them two characters.
Well, it was. You're right, though, that was predictive programming. Like this Zelensky thing we're on about now. Are they actually just putting that image of that human being there So you see it, and then when it happens, you've got that familiarity.
Did you see the video put on?
You've also got Who Is It Fight as well, which I think we've mentioned before. James Bond looks very much like Putin.
Oh, Daniel Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That poor-faced, bent nose.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think Daniel Craig looks like Million Dollar Man as well, a little bit, from side.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, did you see that video put on about them with them Ukrainians that were supposedly injured, but they were doing selfies?
No, it's in that. No,
you want to watch it on Sheep Farm too? Yeah, they're doing selfies. I got Master Lee to get it translated, and the subtitles were, can I just take a selfie? So the woman that's got bandage on her head with supposed blood coming down.
Oh, sorry, I did see it. Yes, I did see it.
Yeah. Yep. So we know what they're saying is real. I mean, that's what you do when you've just been blown up.
Yeah, take a selfie.
Take a selfie.
Well, it reminds
especially
you of that
when
one,
you're in your 80s. You know, she was an old woman. You know, it wouldn't have knocked her off her feet, you know.
Do you remember that old one in the Iraq nonsense when there were all those guys lined up posing? And yeah. There was a guy going past the camera just taking pictures of him. All that stuff's gone now, though, fact. Down the memory hole.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. A lot of early on in YouTube.
If you were a proper journalist, a proper investigative journalist, you'd be looking into this stuff. This is what you'd be looking at.
Well, going back to that Rich Hall thing, if you were an investigative journalist, you'd sit him down and ask him where his point of view was from.
Yeah. And if you were
not
the BBC...
Not do a schlock piece. Piece on someone.
But she's like a hitman. Yeah. She's a journalistic hitman, hitwoman, whatever you want to call it, an assassin. I call them Manchurian candidates because they've been programmed to do this stuff, trained,
she might
educated.
Believe it. She might believe the whole fucking thing.
I'm sure she does, Chris. I'm sure she does, right? But...
Just going back to films quickly, Fire.
Yeah.
And I think I brought this up before. I noticed before the nonsense, there was a series of a lot of films that were portraying journalists as like these, like we've said before, you know, drinking
heroes.
Coffee and smoking fags and, you know, they're coming up with it. There were loads of them. You know, about paedophilia. And I think even the drug world, the pharmaceutical world. There were loads of these films that came out portraying journalists as like this hard-cutting, edgy, coffee drinking, fag smoking.
Yeah.
We've got the answer
working.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're searching for the answer. We'll get the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. But they all go back to the 70s. Clearly, it didn't exist since then.
Yeah. We got the, what did all the presidents spend?
Yeah, exactly. Shows like that. Lots of films like that. I'm struggling to come up with examples, to be fair.
Yeah.
But there were lots of those kind of films came out pre 2020 to stabilize. You know, your vision of a journalist, if you like.
Yeah, they were spreading the truth.
Yeah.
Well, there were that one, and it was a war one, wasn't it? That Vietnam one where Mel Gibson was shite. And there were a journalist on that as well.
Once
and
were he, Warriors?
Yeah.
No.
Once Soldiers.
Once
yeah, we were soldiers. Yeah. We were soldiers. Or whatever.
Do you know what, Fatty? Weirdly, I read the book of that.
Right.
And the book's horrible, if I'm honest with you. I actually stopped reading it about three quarters of the way through. Because basically, it's a guy who was in Vietnam and once Warriors, Mel Gibson. And it was lent to me by a guy who I knew.
The film was called We Were Soldiers.
We Were Soldiers. Sorry. Yeah, no, Once Warriors was that other one about in New Zealand. But yeah, I was lent that book by a guy who used to be in the army.
Right.
And it was harrowing because basically what it was, it was him talking about a defeat when the Americans got defeated. And he actually got too much for me. And I quit about three quarters of the way through because he was just listing all his friends who died.
Right.
It was almost like it was a defeat for the Americans. And the Vietnamese won that won whatever. And he's listing all these friends who died in it. Then you watch the Mel Gibson film and they actually gets to a point and they fight back and win.
Yeah. So
they actually change it. And he wrote that as a historical document about...
Well, you've seen a lot of these films now. That 1917 film that came out, that was about that film.
Basically, Saving Private Ryan 2020.
Similar. It were even worse than that because what the basis of the film is that the Germans have pulled back. and on the British line, they started attacking them. But they've just found out from aerial photographs that the reason they've pulled back is because they're building all a new attack up, and all the men are coming in and what have you, and they're going to catch the attacking British unawares. So they send two guys out to stop the attack on the pretext that one of this guy's brothers is going to go in this attack and they're all going to get wiped out. Because to make the generals look like they were benevolent souls, because that's what they did. They didn't send them out pointlessly to machine gun bullets and get blown up and then just send another 1,000 out, you know. And so the whole pretext of it is that we've got to stop this attack because it's going to wipe out 2,000 men.
Like they give a shit.
I mean, I'm sure some of them did, but the facts that they kept sending people out to get mown down. And if you didn't, you were a coward.
For nothing.
But
We've talked about before, in every village, I mean, obviously, because I live in Cambridge, surrounded by villages, every village has got a little...
Yeah, our village has got one. An obelisk.
Obelisk.
With a cross obelisk. On it. A mini obelisk.
The guys that gave up their lives for bullshit, for nothing. Yeah. And I don't want to offend anyone by saying that, but...
The guys were people... Yeah, look, were these people brave? Yes. I look at it and think, you know, if it were our generation, we'd have had to do it. What would we have done?
Yeah, but fires, well, they get them young. If they'd have asked me to sign up for some bullshit war when I was 18...
We'd have done it.
For King and Country. I'd have done it. Yeah, of course I would.
And also... I find it odd now, you know me and like the wars, I've studied a lot, but and the psychology behind it interests me. But what interests me now is that we're fighting for freedom, yet if you decided that you didn't want to fight, you got shot.
Yeah.
So you're not actually fighting for freedom.
Court martial, did you get shot?
Oh, yeah, you got shot for cowardice. Yeah, if you left the trench, and even people who left the trench because they've gone gaga, because they've been sheltered, max, and they've got post-traumatic stress, obviously, that you can say they didn't know about that in them days, but even they got shot.
No, yeah. But I think there's actually figures of a certain amount of bang, 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 bang all the time will drive you insane.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
Yeah,
makes sense. It will. I'm sure it does. But yeah, anyway, we could bang on about that for... I could go on about stuff like who had all the armament deals and things like that. And you just see the same characters over and over again who were supplying boots, you know? So they made the boots faulty so they couldn't make more. Yeah, you know, it's just another catalogue of...
Same shit,
over and over again. So these poor guys at front, not only were they knee-deep in shit, but they had...
Second-quality
boots and clothing.
One of the ones on the front line, they were finding wooden bullets. Didn't even have real fucking bullets, or they had no bullets.
The quartermasters were selling them on black market, so they weren't getting all the supplies up front.
All I'm going to say is this: ventilator machines.
Yes.
Same shit
every time.
What happened to the ventilating thing, Fire? Just, it rose and vanished.
The ventilating thing?
Ventilator machines at the beginning of the nonsense. Rose and vanished. Vanished very quickly.
Yeah. Very quickly, yeah.
All 2 meters apart, vanished. Everyone's forgot.
But yeah, you still see remnants of it, don't you? Signs here and there about it. I noticed Roger Waters. I saw a video of Roger Waters other day calling Bono a knob. Pink Floyd. Waters, Roger Waters. Is it Waters? Walter? Anyway, Waters, I think it is. Calling Bono a knobhead. Branson telling him, said he was saying he was part of the coup in Ecuador or Panama, not Panama, Ecuador, right. I think he said. And so he said he's working for basically the New World Order. He didn't say that, but that's what we were making out. And he said he landed in Zurich, saw Bono in 2020. He was coming back to come back to London from Zurich. And he saw Bono, who said, I don't particularly like. And he said, I know where he's going. He's going to fucking... World Economic Forum in Davos.
Little rat bastard with his
giant glasses. Little rat bastard or something like that, I said.
but I don't know anything about Pink Floyd. One thing I do know is one of your first fucking 7-inch records you ever bought was Another Brick in the Wall.
Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I don't know anything about Pink Floyd. Yeah. I know they're actually from Cambridge, aren't they?
But he actually said that the World Economic Forum is a criminal operation.
Right.
Quite interesting. And he actually said Branson's another prick. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So, is it again? Can you trust these? I don't need to trust.
Does it matter? Does it matter?
I think sometimes we can get a bit caught up with he haven't said enough or he ain't saying enough or, but not all these people know what we know. You know, yeah, they're in a position where they could say a lot, but they get cut off.
I would.
He said more, right? What I will say is he said more there than I've heard anybody ever say,
right,
in that position. In that interview, but anyway, the last one before we go, we've done an hour.
I would say just step back and it didn't matter, does it? Just observe. One thing I've learned, Fatty, in the last 2 years is this: just observe, because you can get hit up and angry and charged about whether that person's this or that. There's a point where it doesn't really fucking matter, does it?
No. Maybe he's watched some of Sheep Farm World Economic Forum presentations. Old Roger, or he needs to anyway, make him even more angry than he wanted to say on that. One last story. China locks tens of thousands in Shanghai's Disney Park for hours after divot case found. So one divot case. China locked down Shanghai Disneyland on Sunday evening, not allowing visitors to leave the park until testing negative for 91 divot. The park allowed no visitors in or out as workers wore white protective suits instead of the beloved Disney character costumes. And every visitor was closed inside the park and was tested. Once results were confirmed negative, the visitors were allowed to leave.
So you had to get tested to leave.
The city announced on Monday that all 33,863 people in Disneyland on Sunday had tested negative. And they are asked to receive more testing and their health will be further monitored. Yeah.
I mean, there's worse places to be locked down than Disneyland, I suppose. I'm sure food's shite.
Yeah.
And I don't like roller coasters, but...
We're coming up to... end of this first hour anyway. You got what else you want to say, Chris?
No, just please, the guy who sent me that bottle of wine, could you please email me, because I feel terrible that I lost your email. Other than that, not really. No.
So if you're staying with us on the members side, we'll see you on the other side of the sheep pen. If not, we'll see you next time. Bye
bye.